It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kanki to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare. Hey, that's my native name and my taxpayer name and colonized name.
Yeah, I was going to say white.
White. Yeah. Easy. is Robert is Robert Pilot. And we talk about Native issues, and human issues are Native issues, and Native issues are human issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, a lot of people are calling, and we're going to really check in with them again early next week. When we're back to our StreamYard over Facebook and everyone's looking good and it's like a TV show.
I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. We're going to have like our own CNN kind of thing on AM 950. It's
going to be really right. Over Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
So nice day. You took a walk. I was at an action down by the river, and our eagle was flying over the head, and people were really impressed by that. And little did they know, like we know, the eagle lives right over there.
That's our eagle. We call him our eagle.
Right.
Yeah.
So, hey, we talk about news and events, and we're a conduit, Wendy, of all these great people that come onto our show. And I'm not an expert at anything, so I'm really happy to be able to have these rock-solid guests over the last 3 years. And so, you know, and then we've have Ogama working with us for, God, I don't know, a year and a half, it seems like. It seems like longer than that. But
no, it seems like she's been with us for a long time. Yes, in a good way. Absolutely.
So why don't we get over with Ogama now with the news? We should get this sponsorized too, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Ogama, welcome.
Hi, Anim Buju. Thank you for those nice words. And it does feel like longer than a year and a half. It feels like I've been here for a really long time. And I mean that in a good way as well. So you were down at the Rise by the River event today in St. Paul, but there were actually other several other Stop Line 3 solidarity marches that happened today. A lot of them were centered around Green Faith. So it is faith groups who are gathering to help raise the alarm for climate change and all of those environmental issues that are really affecting the planet right now. So there were several around the country, and some of them were in Stop Line 3 solidarity. So the 1,000 Grandmothers group in Oakland, California, held an interfaith action today. Then in Portland, Oregon, they swarmed a Chase bank and then ended up marching into the Wells Fargo Center and basically said Stop Line 3 and held signs and held space in there. The live videos that were coming out were like one of the guys behind the counter at the bank was laughing really disrespectfully. But it actually ended similar to the way a lot of these events have ended in Portland. Portland riot police basically escalated the event because they ended up marching down to the federal courthouse and they ended up standing in front of the courthouse and deployed pepper spray. And there was one arrest. And then I'm seeing a report as well that a window in the Portland federal courthouse was broken, but I don't have any more information for how that happened. But, you know, it sounds like what was happening in Portland earlier this year or middle of last year. Gosh, what year is it?
I don't know. Don't ask me, Wendy.
I don't know.
Going on for a long time. The rioters there after George Floyd was murdered.
Yeah, there was a area where they camped out.
Yeah.
For a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was told that the fence just came down from around the federal courthouse in Portland this week, and then the Line 3 group marched over there and had ended the protest across the street from the federal courthouse, and some people had gone across the street to kind of, you know, investigate the building now that the fence was down. And apparently that signaled to the Portland police that the building then needed protecting. I don't know, but we probably won't know more about that until tomorrow. But there was another event today, too, that happened in Washington, D.C. The Sacred People, Sacred Earth, D.C. Action by the Interfaith Power and Light Group of Maryland and D.C. Held a prayer circle around the base of the Washington Monument today. And that was really, really cool, too, as well. They're talking about all different kinds of environmental things that they really, that people really need to be paying attention to. And people of faith are really stepping up right now to say, you know, this is the one planet we've been given and we need to do something to save it. So I'm pretty impressed with those collaborative actions. And I want to thank everybody who was part of those actions and Interfaith Power and Light in Minneapolis as well for hosting that event that you were able to go to. Robert, how was that?
It was awesome. And I got to see some old students or former students. I guess they're not old. And there was a lot of Native Americans there. And I'd say there was like 200-300 people there rocking it. And I really like singing with those guys. I didn't get to sing because I went Facebook Live, but they were rocking.
You didn't sing on Facebook Live, Robert? I think I sang on one of mine the other back when the Wild Rice Protection Camp opened. I think you'll hear me singing live on one of those ones if you go
well,
back.
Well, you know, if I start singing on one, they'll want me to sing on all of them, so.
Yes, and we can't have the whole show. And we could turn it into a musical, guys. We could be a musical show. What do you think?
I have perfect pitch.
I don't have perfect pitch.
I don't have perfect pitch at all.
Okay. Then you got also, crazy with these headphones on then.
So also happening tonight from 7 to 8 is going to be Sunflower Cookie Youth Leader Cooking Demo as part of the Seed Week with the All My Relations Art Gallery. So that's right after the show tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. There is a Zoom and you can get registered on the All My Relations Art website. And then tomorrow for the final day of Seed Week, they're going to have a Seed Celebration Art and Music panel from 2 to 3 p.m. And they're going to have all kinds of amazing people. All the groups are going to speak. And then I believe they're having musician Keith Sokola, which most people who are Native know him for his song. I believe it was Indian Car. Is that right?
Yeah, driving to the 49er, right? Isn't that him?
Yes. I know. Yep, I think it's him. So.
Wow.
And then also tonight, Line 3 Calls to Action happens at 7:30 p.m., and that is hosted by MN350, and that is a biweekly call to action to get an update on the status, which I also have a quick update on the Line 3 status. So a couple of different things happened. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency said it's not going to fine Enbridge for the February 6th incident where a piece of heavy construction got almost completely, construction material equipment got almost completely submerged. Basically their email said because it was in a permitted workspace, there was already the expectation of ground disturbance and they weren't going to issue a fine or a citation. If I'm not mistaken, that was the, point where they had to blow up the beaver dam to save the guy from getting hypothermia when he got trapped in the cab. I think that was the same thing. If anybody knows, make sure to correct me if I'm wrong. And then the Line 3 replacement project has actually approached nearly the 50% completion mark, but crews are expecting to go on a spring hiatus in April due to what's described as seasonal restrictions. Construction is still going to continue on the 8 Line 3 pump station facilities, and then the summer and fall plans include the final phases, and they expect to be done late in the year. Wow. So that's some updates on what's happening there. Other good news, Deb Haaland is expected to have the full vote for her position for the Department of Interior on Monday afternoon.
Wow.
And great news, third-degree murder was reinstated against Derek Chauvin for his murder of George Floyd.
So well, he'll get convicted. He'll get convicted of something, right? That's a positive thing.
Yes, that's the positive thing, exactly. And can't say so much about the way they're selecting the jury, but, you know.
Well, I really appreciate what you do, Ogama, and digging up all the news all over Turtle Island. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Up next, Robert Lilligren. And you're stay with us, Wendy. Good morning,
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Well, you know, it's really exciting, you know, when we thought about doing 5 days a week, that
and
Robert
said, oh, no,
that besides that, that wasn't great when you said, oh, no, because then I said, oh, no, after you said, oh, no. But what's really cool is that, you know, we brought over all of our Saturday people,
yeah,
which made this show just so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we spread them out and be able to give them more than one section,
yeah,
for most weeks.
Exactly.
And one of the superstars that we have, that we love having on, and I know people in Chicago and Madison love listening to Robert Lilligren too, because he talks national politics, Native politics, and things that people in that area and, of course, in Minnesota too, don't really know what's going on. So it's really awesome to have Robert Lilligren of NADCI on. And welcome, Robert.
Yeah. Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for the kind words, too.
It's really easy. I don't have to make things up when we're talking kind words to you. And I'm serious. And, you know, you're so gracious to come on our show every week. And I still haven't given you a T-shirt yet. So,
yeah. Where's my T-shirt?
It's coming. It's coming.
Right.
But, hey, you know, what's really cool is, you know, now that we're kind of going nationally with the show, you really bring a lot of a really good Native perspective about that. Plus, what's going on here in the Twin Cities. And, wow, we really like that, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You're very kind. Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Robert. Mm-hmm.
So what do you got for us this week?
Well, we can talk about whatever you like. We didn't get a chance to kind of check in beforehand. You know, the big deal thing at the federal level is the pending approval of the appointment of soon-to-be Secretary Deb Haaland.
Mm.
That's a big deal.
It is.
You know, there's the stimulus package that President Biden signed in and he's going to be talking about tonight. That's a big deal. There's a big chunk carve-out for Indian country. And then if we want to get local, the preparations for the Chauvin trial here, the police officer that killed George Floyd, and that's really having an impact on the local community.
Well, that's national, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That's a good point. It's actually kind of international, huh? Sadly,
right.
Minneapolis is now famous and forever will be for the murder of George Floyd.
Well, Robert, one of the things, too, that I forgot is when there was marches here in Minneapolis, and I went to the first huge one, there was marches all over the world.
Right. They were all over the world. And then when the unrest turned violent, a lot of outside agitators and that attracted the world's attention as well. And so the world's eyes are back on Minneapolis because of the trial, the Chauvin trial. And then also with sort of what we do next here, right, and how we have an honest and authentic conversation about race, about racism. It may be a surprise to some of the listeners in other parts of the country that data shows that Minnesota and Minneapolis have some of the broadest disparities by all of those indicators of success, you know, health, wealth, education, some of the greatest homeless, unsheltered homelessness, the greatest disparities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we are demonstrably one of the most racist states and regions and cities in the country. And so now we have this moment of reckoning, right, that
mm-hmm.
the whole world is watching. And so what do we do differently? What truth-telling do we do? How do we go forward to root out this deeply ingrained institutional racism here in Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, and in Minnesota?
Right. And I don't know, for me, because I'm an educator, it really starts with education. And I don't know if that's with the little people, the young people, I mean, or just shows like this, to having guests like you on. you know, inch by inch, we have to really chip away from that. Away from that. And, you know, roughly all three of us are the same age. And,
well, I'm sure Wendy is much younger. I'm sure she's
she
much younger.
Looks much younger.
I'm actually right. older than both of you. So, there.
Easy.
But I think you're
I'm
right,
well preserved.
It's education. You know, I mean, starting with the little ones, that's probably where you can have the biggest, most sort of sustainable and generational impact. But it's also education at every level. And it's so interesting, to me anyway, how sort of the areas I'm active in my life all kind of overlap. And this is, I think, maybe the fourth or fifth version of this conversation that I've had today.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm part of the Minneapolis Truth and Reconciliation work group and in conversations like that. But it's how do we take this moment and have some of those uncomfortable, authentic, truth-telling kinds of conversations. And it's not just the, you know, indigenous or people of color folks. We need to talk amongst each other and have a better understanding. But it's really, how do we now engage the broader community, the white community, and be uncomfortable for a little bit? I'm in a conversation with Minnesota Department of Transportation, MnDOT. Our organization was convened to do an art project related to the Wall of Forgotten Natives, the huge homeless encampment in 2018 that was on MnDOT property. And so we convened the community. We hired a brilliant young artist, Courtney Cochran is her name, and emerging artist. And she convened the community. She had embedded at the wall and was really gathering stories and things. She's just an amazing person. So now she's producing art that then MnDOT's like, whoa, I don't know if we want to say that. That's a little too authentic. So how do we convince it? This is what the community says. This is how we think. And it's time that agencies, institutions become a little more comfortable with that, a little more comfortable with their discomfort.
Right. And I think, you know, our history is, like I say in the beginning of the show, you know, our history is their history. They just don't know it and understand that, you know, we want people in the circle, but we want to be in a good way. And, you know, we have no choice now either. We're not sending people back to Europe. So we want to be able to, like, coexist with our brothers and sisters, not just our allies, but everybody.
Right. And, you know, it's so interesting. You know, sometimes I'll be in these conversations about whether it's truth and reconciliation or how to close some of the disparity gaps in home ownership or income or even education, although that's not really my field. But, and I'll just get, you know, so sad. It's like, oh, wow, so much was lost, you know. Work we're doing, my organization, Native American Community Development Institute's doing along the riverfront in Minneapolis and trying to lift up the Dakota history. And I get so sad because so much was lost. And so now you have the descendants of the colonizers who have benefited from that colonization and continue to benefit. And it's like, you know, there will be a sense, there may be a sense of loss, but there's so much for us all to share. There's so much more to be gained. And so I hope we're brave enough. I hope that this is the time that Native people, our allies and other communities of color can really push through, at least here, and have this conversation here at this time.
Right.
You know, we're on trial. There's a trial going on, and we're all on trial too, right?
Right. And I think one of the things that we need to remember is I think only the upper echelon of white race gets all the things, and that we should have allies that aren't jealous of us for wanting what we want. But I think with any kind of education, we can really – tell them, hey, you know, this is good for you too, not just the 1% or whomever else we're wrestling with that doesn't want to know the truth or talk about the truth.
You know, that is so true. And one of the things I looked at, a lot of my public engagement, community engagement was activated around transportation investment and just seeing how freeways went through lower wealth communities of color and Native communities. And you'd see the health impacts of that and just how how these very deliberate policy and investment decisions were made to harm people of color, to harm Native people. And so then you see that sort of the health data along the freeway and the, the days of miss school because of asthma and all these other sort of pollution related indicators. And that really reflects in the health of the whole city. It's really not just along that freeway. You see that impacts all communities. And for me, that's always been a really stark reminder that we are all in this together, that if it impacts me, it impacts you. And, you know, I go back to Paul Wellstone, and we all do better when we all do better, right?
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, we got a minute on this segment left, and we're winding down for a break. But I'd really like to touch base not only what's going on with you in Minneapolis, but maybe break down what does Deb Haaland do or is going to do, and how does that what does that mean to everyone, and especially us as Native Americans? Because I think it's really, really interesting.
I agree. It's a change, and so her the vote for her appointment is on track for Monday. There was a cloture vote today that was 54 votes in favor. That can often indicate where the support's going to lie. Four Republicans voted in favor of cloture. Two have said they're going to vote in favor of the appointment, and the symbolism of it is huge enough, right? But
let's talk about that next segment. Hey, thanks, Robert. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Robert Lilligren after this short break.
Stay with us.
Lusa Nation.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Why did I want to howl? No, that's howling for woes.
That's the next one.
I'm all discombobulated. Hey, we're back with Robert Lilligren of NADCI, Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert does much, much more than that, but that's his daytime job, I guess. But before we get into Deb Haaland, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening with the organizations you deal with, or what's happening in the Twin Cities, and then we can talk a little bit about what the city's looking like to you, and also then we'll get into Deb, if that's okay.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Again, thanks for having me here. It's always such a pleasure, and you know, there's a lot going on. I might just drop a plug for my own organization, yes. Native American Community Development Institute. We're owned and operators of All American Relations Arts Gallery, a really significant contemporary Native arts gallery here on the American Indian Culture Corridor in Minneapolis. And this is Seed Week at All American Relations Arts, and there's just been some great programming around the release of Diane Wilson, a Dakota woman, a Dakota author, her new book, The Seed Keeper.
Yes.
And so this week we had something every night. I think tonight, if I'm not mistaken, is a planting demonstration. These are all online events. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a youth-led cooking demonstration. So folks just Google Native American or search for Native American Community Development Institute or All My Relations Arts. You can get registered to attend those. Super cool. Super cool event.
It's super cool. And I know you're really busy and don't listen to our show, but we had Diane on.
Yeah, Diane Wilson was on a few days ago talking about her book. Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, it was great.
Because of the kickoffs. And then also Ogama with the news in the beginning gave a big shout out. But
great.
You know, people are coming in and out of their car and checking their Facebook, so it's great to bring it up a lot because
I love it.
Yeah. We got you covered, but it's great that you brought that up because I can't wait until I get my second shot, Robert, and I can come down and get a cup of coffee and check out what's happening and maybe come see you with, you know, still with the mask on.
Yeah, I got my second shot more than 2 weeks ago. So I'll be going in the office more so I can see in the coffee shop there, Powell Grounds Coffee Shop.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I can't wait. And just kind of what's going on in the community. And this kind of relates to the upcoming trial. And, you know, there's a lot of concern about what may happen from a civil unrest perspective, community safety perspective. And so there's alignment of efforts of law enforcement from the city, county, the regional and the state level. The governor has authorized the National Guard. And so we're trying to do coordinated operations and planning. And then the Native community has been coming together for several weeks now. We call them the protectors. They're the protectors at Little Earth of United Tribes here in Minneapolis, or on the American Indian Culture Corridor, the American Indian, the AIM movement, AIM protectors, American Indian Community Development Corporation is really active in the protectors movement. We've been coming together, being a little, you know, be doing some planning. We didn't really have time to plan last May and June. We just responded, but coming together, seeking resources. And what's beautiful, Robert, when, you know, I'll tell you, you know, as we're going through these difficult and dark times, you know, try to find things that are positive, that can endure, sustain, and improve the community beyond this trial. And so we're coming together, groups that don't always get along, groups that don't always trust each other, you know, and really building trust. And just at last Saturday at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, during a planning session, a representative from the Little Earth of United Tribes, the Little Earth Protectors, you know, we're talking about seeking funds or some grants being made available by the city and others to help fund some of these community safety efforts. And this leader from the Little Earth Protectors looked to me and to the Metropolitan Urban Indian Director's leadership and said, "I trust you. I trust you to manage these resources for us." Mm-hmm. And for me, that just made my heart leap. That's solid gold. Mm-hmm. That trust within our own community, you know, sort of shedding that yoke of colonization that teaches us to distrust each other, right, you know, and thereby do the colonizers' work for them. I trust you. Someone saying that, that is super powerful. And that's something that will endure beyond this civil unrest, beyond the dark time.
Wow, if somebody does a documentary about what happened during those days, those warriors stood up. And I mean, I'm watching it on Facebook because, you know, we have issues. Right. We had issues here in St. Paul, people, you know, burning gas stations down and coming into the area. But I was watching a lot on Facebook and I was just like, this is a good way. They did a great job to, I know there was a big pile of people marching down the street, and they marched towards Little Earth, and they were going, not here. No. And just pushing them away, and just things like that. And all the other organizations like AIM and people working with AIM and, you know, hopefully it won't be as intense as that, but I know, by knowing a lot of these guys, they're getting ready.
Right. And so now we're at the table with the head of the state, Minnesota National Guard. Mm-hmm. He's learning the nuances of in our community, the complexities of our community. Again, that's something that will endure beyond this, you know, that we're not just one thing. Oh, here's the Native community, but there are these different groups, these different dynamics. I mean, there's things happening that can potentially benefit our people for years to come. Oh, I can hear a helicopter. No, I live very close to downtown.
Yeah.
There's a helicopter circuit.
You know, and there's different tribes and different ways. And, you know, Ho-Chunk, it means sacred voice. I just want to remind you that, Robert,
before we move on. I remember. Ye of the sacred voice.
So, hey. Go ahead.
I was just going to say just briefly about Deb Haaland.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Her soon appointment as Secretary of the Interior, and that's just so huge. I mean, I love seeing how Native folks from across the country are super engaged. Mm-hmm. They've been contacting their elected officials. But just to see that, and it's not just that she'll be the first Native cabinet member ever, but it's the agency that she'll be leading, you know, the Interior. So that's land, that's mineral rights, that's mining, that's all of that. And it's the relationships with the tribes. I mean, it's hard to imagine that there is one single cabinet position that it means more to Native people in the interior. And to see the support lineup for she has unanimous Democratic support. You know, a lot of these folks are from energy states, you know, where these positions, these issues are very dynamic. And Republicans as well, like Susan Collins from Maine and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, who, you know, who have really stepped up. And Senator Murkowski is adopted into the Tinglet clan, you know, and she's really kind of honoring that in her positions and in her support of Representative Holland to be Secretary of the Interior. So it's changing the system, right? And it's changing the dialogue and the debate in a way that can only benefit Native people in the long run.
Well, there's two things for me as an educator and having all Native homeroom and things like that and really engaged with our Native community and our high school. And I always say this to your good friend Peggy Flanagan, is that thank you.
Our Lieutenant Governor, for folks who don't know, that's our Lieutenant Governor, a White Earth sister.
Right on. I always say to her when I see her, especially when I'm with students, is like, thank you so much for what you're doing, because my kids need to see somebody that looks like them doing what you're doing. No matter how much we agree or disagree, that's the bottom line, you know, and also with Deb Haaland too now, you know, not only that, but people that think Native Americans are extinct, or they're no longer here. I can't say the word. Sorry.
Extinct.
Thank you. Extinct. Oh, thank you, Wendy. I mean, she's a great, she'll be around and people will be seeing that we aren't. We're still here.
Right, right. And it's interesting that it's through politics that a lot of that progress is being made, right? Whether it's Representative soon to be Secretary Deb Haaland, Representative Sharice Davids, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and just scores of other Native people, a lot of women who have had the courage to step into that arena, which isn't easy, I know from experience as a former elected official myself, you know. And now you're hearing about, you know, Hollywood movies that are being made that are putting Native voices in the lead, and just all these other areas of sort of Native narrative change that's being led by Native people. But I think it's really intriguing that it's happening sort of most actively and most dramatically in politics.
Right. Hey, and I think Standing Rock really helped. I really
do.
And I think, too, I interviewed Tommy Orange when his book first came out. And he said, you know,
they're there.
Yeah, and it's there. Yeah. Here, and there. That was good. That was good, Wendy.
Yeah.
But, and he worked on that book for 9 years or wrote it and took 9 years to write. And then the next one that he got signed, but he said, because of what was happening with Standing Rock, you know, I got a voice and the doors opened and people were really aware of what was going on. And so I was just going, wow, that's really cool.
Right. Right. One of the things I love about Orange's book is the real emphasis on urban Indian identity and that sort of being in the urban context and trying to find your culture or live your culture. And I love that he uses that word, urban Indian. And, you know, and I just think that that's how I describe myself, you know, and I work in the urban Indian community. And so just to really have a novel like that puts meat on the bones of what it means to be an urban Indian. Very familiar. I'm sure it was familiar to you when you read it.
Yeah. And it was definitely a really nice thing to be able to talk to him. And, when his next book comes out.
He was on the show early on in our infancy here.
Yeah.
Too, when the book first came out, you interviewed him at Moon Palace Books in Minneapolis.
And it was one of our former sponsors. And it was funny, too, because I had a little problem with the setup, you know, and I'm sweating and he's going, well, I used to DJ, you know, and he's helping me with the interview. It was really fun and funny, but... Well, Robert, thank you so, so much, Pini Gigi, for what you do and bringing us this positive energy each week and updates.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Wendy. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Sounds great. See you next week.
Have a good one.
Hey, that was Robert Lilligren of NADKEY, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. We laugh every day when we say that.
I'm so juvenile.
I know.
In a good way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, talk about juvenile. I'll be talking about something. I usually save something funny for Friday, like Fluff Friday.
Yeah.
But I would rather be a little bit lighthearted today and talk about it today. So
that's cool. Can go on the best of then.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. I'm a humane policy volunteer for the leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I like to do. By the way, tomorrow I'm going to be talking to our state senator, Erin Murphy.
Yes, we love Erin.
We love Erin, and I'm going to be talking to her about four different animal bills and also four HIV bills. I'm doing something for the Aliveness Project in Minneapolis, which I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
Tell our audience that you're a former
I'm a former HIV clinic pharmacist for the University of Minnesota, but I don't work there anymore because I'm retired. But I still care about people who mm-hmm. are living with HIV and still want to advocate for them. So that's what I want to do.
Perfect.
But, yesterday, Ogama, I think it was you asked us what kind of bird. Oh, no, you asked what kind of bird we'd want to be, right? What kind of bird? And Robert wanted to be a woodchuck bird. But what kind of fish would you want to be?
A salmon.
A salmon? Okay.
Because it's very sacred, but also probably a walleye because they taste good. They're delicious up here.
And Ogama, what kind of fish would you want to be?
Well, I'm from the Bullhead clan on Red Lake Nation, so I think I'm going to have to go with Bullhead.
Bullhead.
You can't eat those unless you smoke them.
Do you know about pufferfish? Pufferfish? So these little fish.
You want to be a pufferfish?
I want to be a pufferfish okay. after I read this article that I'm going to tell you about. So these pufferfish, they get their name because they puff up like a ball. And they puff up and they spit out like a toxin, and the toxin can kill predators.
So it's another positive story about animals again.
But according to the Smithsonian Magazine, they have witnessed dolphins playing with these pufferfish after the pufferfish puff up, because the dolphins are not affected negatively from the toxin. What happens actually to dolphins that get a hold of this toxin is that they get high. And it has been documented and videotaped that dolphins are passing around the pufferfish getting high.
Sounds like your high school career.
But really, these dolphins, that's what they do. Exactly.
Humans, you know what the most popular word was in when I went to high school?
What was the most popular word?
Ear.
Ear?
Ear.
Oh, God.
Never mind. That's more of a visual joke. Sorry.
That is funny. But humans aren't the only creatures that suffer from substance abuse problems. Horses eat hallucinogenic weeds. Elephants get drunk on overripe fruit. And bighorn sheep love narcotic lynching.
Hey, we had squirrels that loved our little apple tree.
They did. We had a couple of drunk squirrels.
We were worried, too.
Monkeys, attraction to sugar-rich and ethanol-containing fruit, in fact, may explain our own attraction to alcohol, some researchers think.
Wait, say that again.
Monkeys' attraction to sugar-rich and ethanol-containing fruit, in fact, may explain our own attraction to alcohol, some researchers think.
Some related to a monkey? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Okay. But here, now dolphins may join that list. Footage from a new BBC documentary series, Spy in the Pod, reveals what appears to be dolphins getting high off pufferfish. Pufferfish produce a potent defensive chemical, which they eject when threatened. A small enough dose, though, however, the toxin seems to induce a trance-like state in dolphins that they come to contact with, and they really like it. The dolphins were filmed gently playing with the puffer, passing it between each other for 20 to 30 minutes at a time, unlike the fish that they caught as prey, which they swiftly tore apart. Zoologist and series producer Rob Piley said that it was the first time dolphins have been filmed behaving this way. At one point, the dolphins are seen floating just underneath the water surface, apparently mesmerized by their own reflections. They're like, wow, what's that, man?
Ear.
Here's the pufferfish.
What the heck?
So that's my little story. So not only do humans like to use, substances.
Mood-altering drugs, we used to call that in treatment.
You know, there's been a couple of things on TikTok lately, like these people eating edibles. Edibles sitting in front of the oven with a remote trying to change the channel, thinking that they're watching TV. And then this woman was crying, watching a movie, and she had her television accidentally on mute, but she was crying because she thought that she went deaf.
Wow.
After eating it.
Wait a minute. In TikTok, I really like the native TikTok. Uh-huh. And then also kids swearing. Those are my two good groups that I like to watch.
Oh my gosh. I can't. You go into a rabbit hole with that TikTok.
What'd you say, Olgama?
Oh, I said kids swearing is always a solid one. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if any of our listeners know this, but I have a daughter who's going to be 8 this year. And we have some swearing stories for her. So I do enjoy those.
We have to get that on video and put it up on TikTok.
I'm sure
Grandma wouldn't appreciate it, but.
No. I sent you one last night, right, Wendy?
Oh, my God. So Robert sends me this in, Facebook Messenger, and I'm like, oh, I got a message from Robert. And I go to click on it, and there's this kid asking the mom, can I swear, Mom? I need to say a curse word. Can I say it? Can I say it? And the mother was like, yeah, go ahead. And she really let it out, and it was like, oh, my gosh. But then, But then, the next video comes up. So then you watch that one and then the next one and the next. It's like you can't stop and like an hour goes by and you're never going to get that hour back in your life.
Hey, before we end the show here, because we're passing around the puffer fish. But yeah. Before we end, I want to say I saw our first fan ever today at the action on the Mississippi.
Oh, you're kidding. So, Tiergan.
Yeah, let's give her a shout out.
Tiergan.
I was going live, so I couldn't really talk to her.
Yes, and your daughter Hadley.
Yes.
Absolutely. We miss you and we hope you're doing well. And that was great that you were at the action. Go for it. Power to the people, girl.
That's right. That's right. And we'll shoot her. We'll have you shoot her an email later.
Yeah, because definitely.
That's so good that she's out and about doing her thing. But yeah,
hope she was feeling good, doing what you got to do.
She was our first fan, remember?
Mm-hmm. I do. I remember that. I do. Wonderful. Wonderful news. That's great. So tomorrow I'll decide. I still might make it a Fluff Friday. It depends. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about what I talked to Erin Murphy about. That's always good. Yeah, I have a Zoom meeting with her in the afternoon. So I'm looking forward to that, to talk to her about more serious business. I will not be talking to her about pufferfish and dolphins getting high.
No, only on the award-winning Native Roots Radio show will you do that. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. As Robert Lilligren just said, we're all on trial. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Pinigigi to our guest Robert Lilligren and to my beautiful wife Wendy and Ogama, who we feel like we've known forever. you know, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.